We extend Christian greetings to each one that is gathered here. I can say that I was richly blessed this morning already. The devotional that Brother Robert shared about the prodigal son, and also the thoughts that Brother Henry shared, kind of came over with some of the thoughts that I thought I would share on this morning. Scripture verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Who of us would like or enjoy being poor in spirit? But it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Before I get into that, I have another question. On what are you building your life? It is very important that the foundation of our life is built and established on the teachings of Jesus Christ. He made mention in Matthew chapter 7. He said that he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. When I think of building, it's important when you build a structure that you have a good foundation for that. When we think of the life that we live, especially as a young person, how much more important is it how we build the foundation of the life that we live? I remember as a young person, playing with my brother Elwood. And there were times that we would build with building blocks on the living room floor. We would build a house or we would build a structure. And I remember quite often, I don't know why this sticks in my mind, but I am not as gifted as some people are in being able to build. And many times when he would come and help me build, I would have started a structure, and we would have to tear that down and start over. And to just be honest, he was a lot more gifted than I was in building, because if you don't start a structure right, your options are very limited. And with the same thoughts, if you're building your life with the wrong things, sometimes we have to tear that down and get rid of it and start over. The good part about it is that Jesus will be there to help us with that if we desire him to. And sometimes, and as a little boy, it would kind of give me a bad feeling to take down what I had erected. But most of the times when I allowed that to happen, my brother Elwood had better ideas on how to build than what I did. But sometimes I was too proud to admit that. And pride is something that is not good for any of us to have. But coming back to Matthew, to get the overview of this verse, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," I would like to read, starting in verse 23 of chapter 4. It says here, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. It's no wonder that he had a big following here. If we read earlier in the chapter here, it says that he was preaching that people would repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then with his ability to heal a lot of people, it's no wonder that big crowds were following him. And then we come into the next chapter where he has the Sermon on the Mount. And in my mind, I always thought, or for a while anyhow, that there was probably a big crowd of people there when he preached that message, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But I think that is not quite how it was. I don't know how big the crowd was. Let's read in verse 1, chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Here, some time ago, I was along at the school field trip. And in that field trip, there was a hill to climb. And this says that Jesus climbed a mountain. Now, climbing a mountain is something that takes effort. And when you have a steep mountain to climb, and I don't know how steep this mountain was, you might go part ways, and then you have to sit down and rest. And I wonder if he lost a large part of the multitudes when he went up the mountain. You see, when there's a big hill to climb, it's real easy to come up with other things that you need to do. And it probably got rid of all the people that were not really serious about following him. But it says that he climbed a mountain, and then when he was set, his disciples came to him. Now, I'm inclined to think it was probably more than the 12, but his disciples were those who were really serious about following him. Sometimes when we follow him, the road is not always easy. But Jesus had a very important message to preach here. And he climbed a mountain, and those that were serious about following him, they followed him. And then he taught them, it says, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We could go on and speak more of what he said here, but I would like to focus on this verse. I don't know if I can properly explain what this verse means, but I would like to give an example in the Old Testament of somebody that was rich in spirit and somebody that was poor in spirit, in my mind. I'd like to look at Daniel and also at Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a man who was evidently very gifted. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, he was out in his palace. I'm inclined to think that his palace was possibly up on a high part where he could look out over the city. It says in Daniel 4, verse 30, verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? This man was full of himself. This man was a man that was used to being obeyed. There was a time in King Nebuchadnezzar's life when he was lying in his bed sleeping. And while he was sleeping there, he had a dream. And the dream so troubled him that it woke him up out of his sleep. And I don't know how all his thoughts were going. The account I'm talking about is found in Daniel chapter 2, if you want to follow along. But the dream so troubled him that it woke him, and I don't know what all he thought about, but all of a sudden it dawned on him that he could not remember what he dreamed anymore. And this troubled him more, because he felt that the dream that he had was very important. And so he called his wise men, magicians, astrologers, to see if they could tell him what his dream meant. Now, these people also were rich in spirit. They said to him, "If you tell us what you dreamed, we'll be able to tell you what the dreams mean." Now, I don't know if they had lied to the king before, but the king said, "Oh, no." He said, "You have to tell me what I dreamed, and if you can tell me what I dreamed, then I'll know that you can interpret it also." Now, the request that the king had was very unreasonable to our way of thinking. These men said that this is a very hard thing that you're asking of us. The king, he said that if you don't tell me what I dreamed and what it means, just in plain language, he said, "I'm going to cut you in pieces and make your houses into a manure pile." This king was used to being obeyed. He was full of himself, and he wanted somebody to tell him what he had dreamed. And so it went on, and he called the captain of his guard. His name was Arioch, I think. And he told him that, "If these wise men will not be able to tell me what I dreamed and what it means," he wants him to go around and kill them all. And through all this, word came to Daniel. They were coming for him too, because he was also one of the wise men. And then Daniel asked to be brought before the king, and he told the king that he would like to have some time. And I do not know how all that came about, but the king granted that to Daniel. And Daniel, he went and gathered two or three of his friends together, and he told them what had happened. They wanted to spend some time in prayer. And that night, as they were praying, the Lord revealed the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had to him. Daniel knew that he did not have it within himself to come up and be able to interpret the king's dream. And I look at Daniel as poor in spirit because of his view of himself. His view of himself caused him to be dependent on God. If we go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his.' And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." Daniel was so blessed because he had asked something of God that from human standpoint was totally impossible. And God revealed it to him just in a very simple way. And so Daniel, he notified Arioch, captain of the king's guard, and told him that he would like to be brought into the presence of the king. And so Daniel was brought into the presence of the king. And we drop on down to verse 25 of Daniel 2. It says, "Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? See, Daniel knew that it was not within himself or anyone to be able to answer the king for the demand that the king had. But Daniel then came with this expression that I love so well. He said, But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And then Daniel went on to tell the king what he dreamed. Drop down to verse 30. Here it says, But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any other living. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Daniel here is saying to the king that it is not that he has any more wisdom than any other person, that this thing was revealed to him. Daniel was giving all the honor and the glory to God for God having revealed this dream to him that Nebuchadnezzar had. Daniel was a prime example of someone being poor in spirit. I think another word for poor in spirit would be humble in spirit. You know, the king asked something that was totally impossible from a human standpoint, and Daniel did not allow himself even to be intimidated by that. His mentality was, there is a God in heaven. You know I'm not able to do this, but there is a God in heaven. And God showed himself strong on his behalf. I would also like to touch on another example, is the publican and the Pharisee. That is found in Luke chapter 18, I believe. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Jesus said, his words, Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This publican, he had very few words to say, but he had an humble opinion of himself. And Jesus said that this man went down to his house justified. But I would like to look at the Pharisee a little bit here. It says here that he prayed with himself, and he thanked God that he was not as other men are. And then he goes on to tell God about all the things, the good things that he does. And if you look at his life, he would have been a model citizen. But with God, God did not listen to this man's prayers in a way that this man thought he was listening to him. God could see into his heart. How easy would it be for Jesus to teach a person like this? You know, he's the type of person that probably had all the answers. And when a person is so full of himself as this man was, how hard is it to teach a person like that? When a person is humble in spirit, a person is poor in spirit, as Jesus is talking about, a person like that is very teachable. Very teachable. I was just really blessed in coming over, over the thoughts here about being poor in spirit. And Daniel especially, he knew within himself that he did not have it within himself to be able to come up with this. But he said, there is a God in heaven. And as we go through the coming days, let's remember that phrase, there is a God in heaven. With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.